This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
When I saw that the Bulls traded Lonzo Ball to the Cleveland Cavaliers for small forward Isaac Okoro, first thought, am I having deja vu?
I'm reliving the same day over and over.
Because last year, the Bulls traded Alex Caruso, foregoing draft compensation. In fact, he ended up trading with a team in Oklahoma City that had first rounders for days. And it's bad. It's like they've learned nothing.
Ugh, idiot.
Nick Friedell joins us. More of the same from the Bulls.
Marshall, the front office is a joke.
Well, there you go.
The Bulls are the laughing stock right now around the league. I don't think there is any better example of how bad things can be when you take away the money aspect of it than the Chicago Bulls. But if you're the Chicago Bulls and Mike Reinsdorf, the money aspect is at the forefront of everything.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hello and happy July 1st. Happy Tuesday. Let's go up on a Tuesday. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi joining you. And you can text us 312-644-6767. We've already gotten a bunch of really good jokes about other states, which I'm excited to read.
The variations, the variety of the same joke is hilarious. I didn't know that that was a joke till you told it, but apparently other states make the same joke about other states.
They do, so we'll read those because they're funny and I giggle and I love silly stuff like that. So this is the Rahimi and Harris Show on 670 The Score. As I mentioned, you can text us. You can call us as well. You can also join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Brian Gerch, Connor O'Donnell are manning the chat over there. It is already, I see, very active. Hello to you guys. There are some fun emotes in the Twitch chat that I need to learn how to use. Our producers are Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer, always helping out as well. And this is we love to talk hoops on this show. You're no stranger to that if you listen to us enough. So naturally, I feel like the majority of my non-baseball night last night, Marshall, was spent watching what every team in the NBA was doing. And the first thing I thought was, there are no surprises when it comes to the fact that the Bulls end up signing Trey Jones, their backup guard. He's a familiar face on this team. 3 years, $24 million. Casey Johnson told us it was going to happen. Our friend Joe Calley told us it was going to happen. The two biggest scribes. We know that the Bulls didn't have a lot of room to work with, so I can't say that I was surprised when I saw that deal come down.
We are going with Casey and JoJo to comment on how those things.
It's a dated reference, but I'm like, out of our demographic and out of the people who listen to us and talk basketball, I feel like the majority of our audience will know Casey and JoJo. But I don't want to call Joe Calley JoJo. I feel like that's condescending.
What about JoCo? I don't know.
Casey and JoCo.
Like,
is that the new morning show on B96?
Had the jokes flowing. A couple of days off and you're out here flowing. I like it.
These are not good jokes. Like, I think that's...
they're good to me.
What was the old B96 show? It was like something like that, right? Somebody will know on the text line.
What I'll say is this. The Bulls, I was thinking about it. I was walking home last night and I was like, you know what? If this is what the Bulls are going to do, I don't hate it. Here's why I don't hate it. Because they did need another guard because they obviously traded Lonzo Ball for not enough stuff.
Isaac Okoro.
Yeah, not enough stuff.
He doesn't shoot enough threes.
Not enough stuff.
Yeah, we're going to get into that as part of this.
So they make the decision to sign Trey Jones to a very affordable 3-year, $24 million contract. A contract that's not really ruffling feathers, but also could be moved in the future, if somebody needs, say, a point guard. Guards get hurt all the time. That's what I learned last year. And then not just that by itself, but the fact that there was no news about Josh Giddey signing an extension. That signaled to me that they weren't just going to go the quote unquote Patrick Williams route of just signing him, just to sign him for whatever money arbitrarily Josh Giddey threw at him.
Yes, the inactivity regarding Josh Giddey's free agency is a good thing at this time. And I think that is something we should point out. That again, the Bulls beat reporters such as Casey Johnson talked about the Bulls learning from their mistakes in the past. Our colleague Mark Schanowski has talked about it as well. The idea of not bidding against yourselves when it came to the Patrick Williams deal. Thanks to everybody saying Eddie and Jobo. Thank you. I knew it was something like that, but I kept thinking Jobu from Major League, and I just knew that that wasn't the case.
Don't offend Jobu. He's going to get upset.
We could use him.
The Bulls could use him. They could use anything they could find right
now. Name any kind of team in town that could use his services.
That's a long list. Unfortunately, it's a longer list than you would like.
It is. Okay, so here's one for you, 515. You know why the corn in Iowa points north? Because Minnesota sucks.
Okay, I'm gonna raise you one.
I actually like it because it's corn, and I feel like it's very specific. Like, that's an Iowa-specific joke.
Why do all the trees in Illinois lean to the west? Because Iowa sucks.
Ooh!
That's from 815.
And then there was the biggest troll of all, I think, when Minnesota and Wisconsin played on, and that was where College Game Day was, and somebody had a sign that said, Spotted Cow is just okay. I was like, oh! Fighting words! I like it all. No, these are the insults that I am here for that are particular to this region. I'm into all of it. It's silly and stupid. And it's a victimless crime.
I am also a fan of colloquialisms in general. And I'm a fan of when the Bulls don't shoot themselves in the foot. And I feel like that's what happened last night. They didn't do anything drastic. They didn't do anything aggressive. They didn't do anything dumb. I have to give them a dub because the bar is that low for the Bulls.
And it's there are two different issues at play here. Number one is, are you the Bulls doing something different from what the plan that you told us was? And the answer is no, they're not. Trey Jones was a very expected deal. I think moving Lonzo Ball for somebody in Okoro is what we saw. Did I read the same reports from John Hollinger via The Athletic at the trade deadline about how the Bulls could have gotten a draft pick for him? Yes. Yes, I did.
How'd that make you feel, knowing that they didn't get a draft pick? Did it just further confirm that they don't care about draft picks?
That's it. There's two different things at play here. Number one is what you know the rest of the NBA is doing regarding their interpreted value of draft picks. Then there's also the Bulls' plan, where they've shown you that they don't value draft picks as much via their capital measurement. The problem I have is we haven't seen that plan be proven to be successful yet.
Not just that, but here's the thing. If you're in a marketplace where draft picks have value, you have to say, even if I don't value the draft pick, I have to understand other teams value draft compensation.
Well, and the Bulls do to an extent. As we're talking about Trey Jones and just NBA free agency and how the Bulls are putting this team together in the spaces that they can here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. But it's not just the concept of they get the backup guard they need. And you know that guy's going to play. You know he's going to see significant minutes.
Billy Donovan loves him. Has said so.
And I feel like that's also part of this. So again, if you're going via the Bulls plan, what the Bulls have told us they want to do, Trey Jones fits into that. The problem I have is, it's like you said, it's not just the NBA values draft picks. The most foremost, I think, in thinkers with the most foresight have shown you why they value them. It's that the Bulls do too, to an extent, because that was part of the trade involving the Kings was getting their own draft pick back when they moved DeMar DeRozan. They wanted to get the rights to that draft pick back and protect it still. And in doing so, they prevented next year's draft pick from being something that could fall into the hands of the Spurs. But I feel like that is a part of this as well. Like, for them, regaining control of it was important to them. But when it comes to draft picks versus players, they seem to like players. I just don't necessarily know if that's the plan that the rest of the league is telling you is successful.
Oh, no. The rest of the league is telling you that plan is not successful. And that's what makes what happened on draft night number one, because you know it's a two-day event now. Draft night number one, so frustrating. Because after the Bulls took Noah Essengay at number 12, we saw the New Orleans Pelicans then trade up and say, hey, here's next year's first-round pick from New Orleans. And yes, unprotected, not lottery protected, not top five protected, not top three protected, unprotected. And you're like, huh, that's interesting. They went up and got Derek Queen. I know a lot of people who were following the draft, their immediate reaction was, man, the Bulls could have had Derek Queen.
Yes, and that was somebody that we all keyed in on as observers of the Bulls, was Derek Queen, for the reasons of being able to finish at the rim, just athletic, how he played, you know, giving something to the front court. And they decided to go in Noah Essengay instead. They said it was a team fit issue. But when the difference was that small, what made the Bulls decide that Essengay was that much more important? I have not reacted to what Joe Dumars had to say, but let's reset the topic and let's listen to what he had to say just in case you need a reminder.
After we drafted 7, we started from 9 and went all the way until we got a deal. And you don't pull the trigger on the asset next year until you get that deal. Otherwise, you keep it. But here's what I've said to the staff. When you identify a player that you think this can be one of the foundations here, you go and get them. And that's what we did. I mean, like, we targeted Queen. We thought he could be a heck of an addition here. And we were really aggressive about going and getting him in this draft.
All right, so
they certainly love him, but that would indicate that the Bulls had the possibility of getting an unprotected first-round pick next year.
He said he started at 9, didn't get a deal done with them, then went to 10, then 11. And, of course, before he got to 13 where he made the deal, that means the Bulls had the option of passing on Noah Essengay. And here's the interesting thing. I understand if you say, we took Noah Essengay over Derek Queen, he's a better fit. Plus, we're doing this with no shortcuts. It's a longer-term plan as far as developing and getting these guys ready for a certain window. We're not taking any shortcuts. My issue with that is, for an unprotected first-round pick for a Pelicans team that you don't know if they're going to be good next year, they could be quite horrible next year.
Oh, yeah. They're very much a team in transition. Like, yeah. Whether or not they want to admit it. Like, that, even getting Queen and telling you that he's a cornerstone in 2025 is an indication. Because who's the big man you're thinking about when you think about the Pelicans? Well, it's not Derek Queen.
It's Zion Williamson.
Who we all think might still get moved somehow. Like, that's a fit issue where you're wondering, is he his best self on that team? And I don't think the answer is yes. So, all of that said, didn't we just see a 2032 first-round pick go off the board yesterday?
There's a lot of picks going off the board down the road.
2032. 708, you nailed it. Here's how important picks are. The Nuggets just traded away an unprotected first for 7 years from now. Those unprotected picks are like gold. The rest of the league is telling you that they are. Like, and that's the part of it for me. I think the better question becomes, not even to Arturas Karnišovas and not even to Mark Eversley. It's asking Billy Donovan, what is the importance of having a young player with experience to you? And how does that override, say, the asset of a first-round unprotected pick? Like, explain to me in your viewpoint, compare and contrast, why this is more meaningful to you based on the actions we've seen of your front office. And I think that would help us fill in the gaps.
I don't know that it would, because I think Billy Donovan is just going to toe the company line at this point. And here's why. He's cool with developing players. He's shown us that. And with Noah Essengay, he's essentially a lottery ticket of sorts, much like the pick itself would be, because we don't know how good Noah Essengay is going to be down the road. What we also don't know is how high that pick for New Orleans is going to be. You can't build a championship contending team without top picks. It cannot be done.
You just don't have as much flexibility. Like, that's the biggest issue, is that's how you balance assets in the league. There was a time where balancing assets mean you trade a players only to cut them and then they would go back. You know, that was something that was a loophole back in like the early 2000s NBA, CBA. But right now, this is how you are getting flexibility, and you are able to, instead of turn a barge, you're able to pivot a kayak. And this is some big news. How about this? I think it's worth a breaking news mention.
It's definitely worth a breaking news mention. Go ahead.
Breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. And this man can afford a lot more Wildfire now. Free agent center Miles Turner, this via Shams Charania, has agreed to a four-year, $107 million deal with the Milwaukee Bucks, plus a player option for year four in 28 and 29. And a full 15% trade kicker, sources tell ESPN. My goodness. Well, that whole, hey, you know, this is how the Indiana Pacers did it thing looks a little different now, doesn't it?
Well, the big news here is this is the Bucks saying, hey, we know, Giannis, we haven't put you in the best position, but we're committed to making sure that not a single year of your prime is wasted. And they go out a day after Brooke Lopez left town and get what many have to consider just from an age standpoint, because obviously the same rim protection is offered from Miles Turner, and he can also shoot the three. He's also younger than Brooke Lopez. This is saying that the Bucks are positioning themselves to make a run at another NBA Finals next year when so many other teams are down.
Wait. What was all this about Giannis like going to a big city? What was all that talk?
Well, he would have to ask out, and he hasn't asked out.
No, he has not.
I think if he asked out, they would acquiesce him. But since he's here, they're saying, we're going to do everything in our power to build a winner around you.
Wait. You mean to tell me that one of the top stars in the NBA may have just like thrown out a test balloon to just see what everybody thought, to see if he would get any feelers? I've never heard of that happening.
What? I think as we talk about NBA free agency and the Bulls making very prudent moves on day one of free agency, we're into day two and things are getting crazy though. Here on Raheemy and Harris, Miles Turner headed to the Bucks, which is just another problem for the Bulls, if we're being honest, within the division. Do you know how good the Bulls division is? Do we understand where the Bulls are as far as looking around the division?
And well, lucky. We were actually going to do that at 10:45.
No. I'm just saying this move in and of itself just
changes it.
It pushes the Bulls just further and further down.
That's it. It's that. Not only, okay, yes, did you follow your checklist for Bull? Yes, you did. Congratulations, Trey Jones, you are still a Bull. But when it comes to trying to figure out where Bull stacks up versus NBA, that's where the rub lies. Also, I think there is some symmetry here, don't you, to the fact that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander signed this deal on Bobby Bonilla Day? This is secure the bag day. Like, do you guys have a contract you need to negotiate? I think you need to do it today. This is a good sign. Be like SGA and Bobby Bonilla. Secure your bag.
Everybody's getting money. Why not you? That's what I would say on a day like this. Now, those bags vary slightly. The million for just, you know, deferred payments for Bobby Bonilla, not quite the active payment of SGA with the 285 over 4 years.
630, why does all of the corn in Iowa lean to the east? Because Nebraska blows and Illinois sucks.
What about this one? 630.
And I'm like, ah, yes, the corn leaning a certain direction. I get it.
A Cincinnati Reds fan in 1974, when asked about people from Kentucky sitting next to him in the stands, was heard to say, the best thing that ever came out of Kentucky was an empty Greyhound bus.
What?
Yeah, that's where we are.
Neighboring state jokes.
Also, 260. No. Which I guess this is a curse word when they use the symbols.
That, uh-huh. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That Turner News, S-U-C-K-S.
It does. I mean, if you thought that the Milwaukee Bucks were going to be a team to not worry about, you were wrong. 574 says, Layla, share your favorite Aggie joke. I know you have some good ones. The punchline is always like, how many Aggies does it take to do X, Y, or Z? That's always it. It's like, how many Aggies does it take to turn a light bulb or something like that? It's a running bit, but it's just never pays off the way you want it to. There's more news?
Oh, my goodness.
This is going to be one of those days, isn't it?
I hope so.
Welcome to the Raheemy and Harris NBA Free Agency Special. Where not only are we talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander securing the bag and Bobby Bonilla, but hopefully you. What? The Bucks are doing more?
Oh, they're doing more.
I don't even know this team anymore. The Bucks are, this is according to Shams, the Bucks are waving Damian Lillard. Well, he's out for the year with the ACL, right? Or the Achilles, rather. waving Damian Lillard and stretching the remaining $113 million on his contract in order to acquire Miles Turner. Lillard's two seasons in Milwaukee come to an end as he rehabilitates that torn Achilles tendon.
The Bucks found a creative path to waive and stretch Lillard, whose $113 million will be stretched over the next five seasons, while leaving their future draft assets untouched. In a stunning turn of events, Miles Turner departs the Pacers to join the Bucks. This is very interesting. It's creative. Your GM could never. And when I say your GM, you know whose GM I'm talking about. Yours, as in the city of, yeah, brotherly love.
They don't, I mean, they've decided, I think they want to. You're saying Daryl Morey?
No, I'm joking. I don't want to see if you caught that. No, it's the Windy City. It is. Listen, I have no faith in
Daryl Morey started this game. Daryl Morey decided to trade this piece of paper and turn it into James Harden. How dare you?
Piece of paper and a James Harden?
Daryl Morey's been dealing the last 48 hours.
Or a cup. Acquire a cup and just look at it and hope that the cup accrues value under your development.
You can definitely find some comps, I feel like. You can find some comps. How much do you value the cup? That's what really matters. It's not overpaying to you if you think that that's the market value for somebody. It's only overpaying if you didn't figure out what the market value is.
Is it a Stanley?
Do you see the difference? Like the market value for Kyle Tucker, you're going to find out what it is because a bunch of teams are going to tell you. When you create your own and you don't talk to anybody else, then there might be an argument there. Do you feel me?
I feel you.
Like if I decide that this cup is $4 when somebody else only wants to pay $2 for it, then it's an issue. But if somebody else says the cup is $7, and I'm like, well, to me it's $4, and I got it for $4, then have I overpaid?
I want the cup for free.
Don't we all?
Yes.
All right, more NBA free agency coming up. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score. We will continue to discuss not only what the Bulls roster looks like right now, how it stacks up in the East, and how we figure out what the division is going to be, because that is some big, big news. Damian Lillard, we know, is going to be out for a year rehabbing his Achilles. That's the usual expected timeline. He's going to be 35 when it comes to that season. So he'll be 36 for his next NBA season when he's available.
Steph's older than that.
We'll keep doing the math as we move and shake with the movers and shakers of the association today. Cubs talk coming your way at 11, just in case you're interested. Ian Happ at 11:25. This is The Score.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Well, I'm asking for fans of patience because we're in the first year of that transition. You know, I thought that the way we finished the year shows some promise. It's hard to win games in this league and to finish 15-5. Yeah, it's not a victory lap, but I think there's some positives.
That was Arturis Karnachovas at his end of season press conference. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score, talking about the many, many moves that are happening in the NBA. It's not just the Bulls signing Trey Jones and also trading away Lonzo Ball and getting Isaac Okoro in return. It's also the news that we have gotten just regarding the Bulls in the division. Shams Charania reporting just a few minutes ago that the Bucks are waiving Damian Lillard in order to make room financially for Miles Turner, he previously of the Indiana Pacers. So already we're seeing a lot of movement that is going to affect not just the Bulls, but their division as well.
I think we just have to come to an understanding that regardless of what the Bulls do this offseason, going into next season, they're still going to be in play-in at best territory.
That's it. Based on their plan and based on the fact that you know that not much is changing with the team. Yeah, I look at this and I look at the deals that they have and I feel like Arturis Karnachovas told you that in summer 2026 they're going to have more flexibility. We are seeing teams creatively try to move salaries, sometimes ruthlessly, when you consider guys like Damian Lillard, for example, and his Achilles, where he's going to be out for expected to be, what, a year or thereabouts from when he got injured. The timeline, I think, varies a little bit inside of that, but not enough to matter. So we're already seeing how this is changing what we know about the NBA, the deals that have happened, and also how it affects the Bulls. Regardless, the two biggest pieces that I think put the Bulls in this position are the Patrick Williams contract and Nikola Vucevic. Until either of those pieces move, I think this is what you're looking at with those moving around it in this way.
Those two pieces that you talk about are such varying pieces, because while they are both things that need to be moved by the Bulls, one of them has value. The other one is you're taking it on in a way, if you're another team, where you're going to need some other stuff back in addition to Patrick Williams when you're talking about being in the midst of an $18 million annual average salary.
So if you're looking at the Bulls roster right now and trying to figure out the depth chart, last night on CHSN they showed the depth chart from where it stands right now. It's Josh Giddey, Trey Jones backing him up. And of course they haven't signed Giddey yet, so this is projected. Kobe White, Isaac Okoro, Modest Bouzelis, and Vooch. And then Williams is backing up Bouzelis in this. Essanga is backing up Okoro, which I think probably makes sense, as Okoro was the piece to get them to the point before Essanga is starting.
I'm not sure that Okoro, even if he plays 30-plus minutes, I'm not sure Essanga is going to get as much time. I
think they have Essanga on the same type of plan that they had Modest last
right,
year.
Right, so there could be games where, A, he doesn't play, or B, he's only playing 5 to 10 minutes. If he can't play defense, Billy Donovan's not going to have him out there. We saw that with Modest last year.
Well, and that's the point about this, is Okoro's defense is why he was acquired, or at least that's what I think. But it also comes down to, given the framework of what you know about the Bulls, given that signing Giddey is the biggest free agency move they can make, is retaining their own player. Given that Giddey doesn't have as many places to go now because of the Michael Porter Jr. deal.
He has nowhere to go unless they're talking about a sign and trade. There's nowhere for him to go that can give him the type of money that he wants except for Chicago.
And if you missed that, yeah, Denver reportedly, according to our friend Shams, Nutrier Zone, Denver trading Michael Porter Jr. to the Nets for Cam Johnson. That was reported yesterday. So that also limits Giddey's market, which, again, can you buy some flexibility? Can you sign him to a cheaper offer? Because the market for him is small. I don't care about his happiness via his salary when the difference means more to the team than it does to the individual.
Well, I wonder if there's a chance for Giddey to sign a shorter deal if he feels like he's still in improvement mode. He's going to play, and he's going to sign with the Bulls. It's just going to be a matter of, is that number going to be closer to $20 million or $30
million?
It should be closer to $20
million. It should be. Yeah, we need to look at this differently. Instead of looking at it as the Bulls need to sign Josh Giddey to what his value is based on what we saw him do in March, it needs to be the Bulls need to sign Josh Giddey based on the market for him, being that the Bulls are the ones with the advantage here. The Bulls can get a bargain on Josh Giddey. That's how we should be looking at it. Is it fair to him? No, he's got a lot of years in front of him. I'm confident he's going to earn a lot of money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It could be a shorter deal if he's not happy with the compensation. So if you sign him instead of, say, a 5-year deal to a 2 or 3-year deal where he's making good money, I think that might make sense for both parties. But ultimately, I think the Bulls are going to give him closer to what he wants than closer than what they should give him.
This is Raheemi and Harris on The Score. Our friend Will Perdue had a good discussion earlier this morning with Mully and Haw. If you missed it, strongly recommend going back and listening on the Rewind app. The question was, who's the most important player on the Bulls roster? Who's the most talented?
The most talented is Josh Giddey. The most important player at the moment, I think, is Kobe. That's the interesting thing. And remember, we were in this predicament earlier. Remember, Zach was the face, but DeMar was the best player.
Right.
That was kind of a weird dynamic. So that's kind of like, yes, we've gotten younger. Yes, we've seen, that's the one thing we could hang our hat on. But again, we're asking ourselves, okay, how do all these pieces fit together? We've got a bunch of guards. Honestly, this team's going to be enjoyable to watch. And the question is, are we good enough to hang around and be in the play-in game again?
And that becomes the question. Is Kobe White also is somebody who has a lot of value? He said reportedly he's not taking any hometown discounts, nor should he. If you win a Player of the Month award in the NBA, I don't care what month it is, that indicates to me your level of talent and your value in this league. So that said, here's what it's hinging on. Will is spot on there. Giddey's your most talented.
he is your most talented, but I go back to the development aspect of it. I want to know what his ceiling is as an individual player. I want to know, can he give you adequate defense? Not good defense, just adequate defense. He can't be a traffic cone out there. And we saw him play hard
can't
at
play
times.
Ole defense?
Can't play the or Ole you just, defense.
You move your arm out like Ole?
No, because even Tyrese Haliburton, who's not the greatest defender in the world, gives effort. And that's why the Pacers' defensive identity worked.
Well, and the Pacers' team defensive concepts are so strong. Like, we saw that time and time again. Oklahoma City was able to score will until they met the Pacers, and that had to change their offensive flow.
773 on the text line. What's most impressive about the Bulls is how they've managed to have an awful roster, no cap flexibility, and no extra draft capital. The best thing that happened to the Bulls last year was CHSN not being on Xfinity. Man, that's tough criticism. I do want people to be able to watch the games because the Bulls did play an exciting brand of basketball. But the other points stand. They don't have cap flexibility. They don't have extra draft capital. And the roster is subpar because it's relative. Relative to other rosters is bad.
Until you move Vooch, which we want to have happen. And you could argue that he would be the team's most talented player as well. His first half of the year put him in a discussion squarely for All-Star. But until you move him or until you decide what you can do with Patrick Williams' deal, you as a team have decided you have to move around those, and that's what we're seeing the Bulls do right now. But I even just in looking at how the Bucks were able to get some flexibility regarding Damian Lillard and Miles Turner, if you want to make something happen, you can. It's just how much are you going to take it on the chin? But is it even taking it on the chin when you've decided the draft picks aren't as necessarily important to you?
In terms of acquiring more draft capital than you already have?
Correct.
Yeah, it seems like a lost cause from that aspect. I just look at this Bulls team, and I understand the frustration of their fans, the ones who are waiting for them to do something of note. Josh Giddey, my question with him is always going to be, he can be the blank best team on a championship contender. And that's how you figure out what the deal is with the salary.
Fair enough. As we talk about NBA free agency, this is Raheem and Harris on the Score. And this is also, I think, a valid point to bring up as well. Not only does Shane Gilgeous-Alexander get the Supermax today, a reported $285 million.
Over 4 years.
4 years!
That...
the more you say it, the more unrealistic it sounds.
I remember when Michael Jordan got paid $36 million for 1 year and people lost their minds.
They damn near lost their minds finding out how much LeBron was going to get yesterday.
53.
Yeah, 52.6. Yes.
So the one thing I'll say about the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, deserves every penny of it.
Absolutely.
You're paying. It's the rare thing where you're paying a guy not just on what he's done, but what you think he's going to do. And a 4-year deal at this point in his career makes all the sense in the world because he could legitimately win you 4 more titles over those 4 years.
That's it. It's not necessary. The contracts don't typically pay you for what you did do. They pay you for what they think you're going to do. Now, whether it's in a year or two where the first couple of years are the most important and you end up having to pay the rest, or if you think somebody for that whole time will produce, no doubt in my mind that SGA is going to produce that whole time. Not even a doubt.
I think the big thing watching going forward is the Josh Giddey deal, how much they end up paying him, and then are there any other moves? Do they move Ayo Dosunmu, Kobe White, Nikola Vucevic, and I'm going to say it out loud even though I don't believe it's possible, Patrick Williams.
And you are right. I think that's going to require them giving something along the lines of a draft pick that unfortunately they don't have. And that's why I consider the Caruso trade, for example, and I consider how much he meant to Oklahoma City. And could you have gotten another draft pick in that discussion? And the reports said you could have.
That's crazy that they didn't.
The reports say Lonzo Ball you could have. And then what happens? You have more flexibility in order to move a guy like Patrick Williams, where he likely is better on another team.
The question remains, even though it can't be answered by us, what do you think the Bulls should do next? As opposed to what do we think Arturis Karnišovas will do next?
Right. What they should do versus what they will do.
Right.
And that's a part of this that I think is concerning. And 630, even though it's a bit veiled, I get it. 630 says, give Giddy the bag and he'll look like Casper the Ghost playing defense out there.
Man.
Isn't that the concern, kind of a la a James Harden, if you will? Like, the second that guy gets paid, you're worried that the defense is going to disintegrate?
I don't know about disintegrate. I think if it just stays where it is, it's not good enough.
I would agree with that.
So, yeah, I think we have to figure out what it is that they're trying to do with the players they have on the roster. And are they ever going to subscribe to draft picks good, players good, draft picks better?
Or draft picks help you do other things with the players?
Cash in. Cash in as soon as possible.
More coming up with Rahimi and Harris on The Score. We try to figure out now, especially with this latest important information, reportedly Miles Turner going to the Bucks, how the Bulls stack up in the East now when you consider all the other maids at the Eastern Conference teams are doing right now. Like, for example, Cleveland has Lonzo Ball. We'll discuss it all next.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
It seems like the conference is a little more wide open. Does that change at all the way you attack this offseason, feeling like there's almost a window open at this point?
There's definitely, you know, more opportunities for teams to take a jump. I think for us, we need to remain diligent and pragmatic about how we build this. We don't want to skip steps. And I think sometimes when you do skip steps, expectations kind of build and you make mistakes. And I don't think we want to do that.
This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score. That was Mark Eversley as we talk about the Bulls free agency. We're also still getting silly jokes, like silly regional humor jokes.
What you got?
815. How do you keep Packer fans out of Illinois? Put up a goalpost. I'm sorry, guys. I enjoy these. Like, it's just silly humor.
No, it's fine.
It's a victimless crime.
Listen, we need laughter like this. Especially after playing that Mark Eversley sound where you realize that they don't have a plan that lines up with anything that anyone thinks is a good plan except for them.
773, the Vooch for Kuminga, always bubbling. It is always bubbling. And you know what? Because you asked, I checked. Sometimes you just Google somebody's name just to see what the latest result is that pops up. I find that to be a useful tactic. And this is as of 2:02 p.m. Pacific time, so that's 4 o'clock yesterday here. This is NBC Sports San Francisco. It doesn't appear that a Jonathan Kuminga decision is imminent for the Warriors. How you feeling now?
I feel good about that because they haven't decided they're going to keep Jonathan Kuminga.
With the NBA free agency negotiation window set to open Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, Kuminga, a restricted free agent in Golden State, are not close to a deal, and the Miami Heat and Chicago Bulls are the two most likely outside suitors, The Athletic's Anthony Slater reported in his latest column. Quote, despite a few conversations between the two sides, the Golden State Warriors have generated no real traction toward a deal with restricted free agent Jonathan Kuminga in recent days, and as anticipated, he's expected to explore the market when it opens. And that has been what we have seen. There's not been any movement on Kuminga since, not that I have seen. So that is bubbling. It is out there. But as far as the Bulls being involved, still in the discussion. But other than that, we haven't seen a lot.
Maybe the bigger issue here is when you're trying to find somewhere where Nikola Vucevic makes sense, it's hard to find anywhere where Nikola Vucevic makes sense on another team. Especially given that DeAndre Ayton is now out there as a free agent as well.
DeAndre Ayton! You know about that, right?
No.
DeAndre, oh.
Oh, is that like instead of DeAndre Jordan?
Yeah, so the PA had a bit of a mix-up when he was introducing DeAndre's. That was in Phoenix, wasn't it? It's worth a listen.
DeAndre Ayton!
Oh, wait a second.
DeAndre Jordan!
Oh, they fixed it that quickly?
Well, he did it real time.
DeAndre Jordan!
Oh, it gets me every time. Gets me every single time. We had the question in our pre-show meeting. Given what we know this Bulls roster to be, Isaac Okoro likely starting in this scenario, Trey Jones secured, backing up what we believe to be a secured Josh Giddey. How they stack up with the rest of the East. And then the news came out about Milwaukee getting Miles Turner. And that changed the discussion yet again.
And I was just talking about, okay, well, Milwaukee might, if they can't get something done to replace Brook Lopez yesterday, they might be in a position to now move Giannis. He may look around and say, who's going to help me win now? But I think this changes what that looks like.
Yeah, I also think that, you know, Giannis talking about how much he loves Luka Nelis's restaurant, Avli. Sounds like he's just going to have to, he's just going to have to keep with the one in Milwaukee or come down the street to your friends in Chicago. Because, you know, you might just be sitting pretty up there in Milwaukee, Algonquin for the good land.
Do you remember when people were like, why can't the Bulls trade for Giannis? Do you remember that?
I was people. Yes, I remember being that way.
And I was definitely defecating on the dream of a lot of people.
So if we go through the Eastern Conference standings, just in the regular season compared to last year, let's reset where the Bulls finished in this.
Okay.
So Cleveland is number one, finishing at the top of the Eastern Conference to end the regular season. Celtics 2, Knicks 3. Knicks, by the way, are now into their second interview discussions, or second attempts, I should say. Have you been approached by the Knicks a second time about interviewing with the team?
Well, I'm not the head coach of the South Carolina women's basketball team, so no.
Yeah, the Dawn Staley news. How about that?
Yeah, but apparently she didn't make it to finalist land. Mike Brown's the front runner now.
I think they're just naming names.
And you'll remember Mike Brown, most recently of the Sacramento Kings, who I believe are just as dysfunctional as the Bulls.
I feel like you could fit the NBA into a lot of different categories, and one of those categories might be Kings and Bulls. And the category is Kings and Bulls, and the teams in those categories are the Kings and the Bulls. So Cleveland, Boston, New York, Indiana. Indiana without Miles Turner. Thoughts?
I still think they have Pascal Siakam. They still, as you name these teams, I'm going to be like, which would these teams has a player that's not better than the Bulls' best player.
Right. So Milwaukee finishing fifth in the regular season last year, you know they move up. Like that was a secure the seeding type of move. Detroit, Orlando, we know Orlando's done a lot regarding the Bane trade.
Yes.
So Orlando now got better. The Heat, who were the Bulls' focus when it came to the Heat made the play-in game and ultimately made the finals.
Yeah, and we know obviously the Heat are better.
We know that the Heat last year matched up remarkably better than the Bulls in the play-in game. Then it's the Atlanta Hawks, who have made some moves as we compare where the Bulls are with the rest of the Eastern Conference. And the Hawks were the 9 seed to finish the season last year, and the Bulls were 10. There is some discussion that the Bulls, that the Hawks have gotten better roster-wise, but you don't think it's enough to make a difference?
I think they're better than the Bulls. Let me be very clear about that. They signed Luke Kennard, was one of their guys. They also got sneakily, subtly, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who's a great defensive player. And you look at the other players that they have on their team, and they're taking a step forward. Even though they lost Clint Capella, they have other guys to step up in his wake. They're better than the Bulls.
Yeah, for all the moves that we've talked about the Western Conference teams making, I feel like it still stands to reason. How do you see the Bulls fitting in this? And I don't know that it's much different right now.
No, it's not. I mean, you can say the Bulls are better than probably the Raptors, the Nets, and the Wizards. The Sixers are obviously going to be better once they're healthy than the Bulls were. The Hornets are interesting. I'm not sure about the Charlotte Hornets, but they seem to be poised to be better than the Bulls as well.
So a question, too, about the Bulls roster. Like, which players do you expect to take a leap next year like AK and Mark Eversley do? Because if those players do take a leap, then I think this is a different conversation.
Modest, but is it enough to matter versus what we just said? I don't know.
It's not enough.
I go back to this.
I feel like Giddey did that this year, right?
Tell me the team in the Eastern Conference whose best player isn't better than the best player on the Bulls. Yeah, take your time.
Who's on the Wizards?
Who's on the Wizards? Yep.
Okay, so the Wizards got rid of Kyle. Well, they still have from Milwaukee, the shooter, Chris Middleton.
Poor Chris Middleton.
Yeah, that's, and they just got CJ McCollum.
The Bulls might not be very good.
That's what we've been saying.
But also, if they're not, just...
But also, not bad enough.
But what... Hey, don't secret tank. Just full out tank. Just tell us you're rebuilding. We understand.
No, they won't do it.
We get it. We love a rebuild.
My point is, they could rebuild and still be in contention for the play-in. and get a bunch of draft assets, and people would still go to the United Center. That's my point.
They would. Games. The NBA as a product is fun to watch.
Dinner theater, if you will.
Yeah, but I feel that way regardless. You could be rebuilding. I mean, does anybody remember Paul Zipser? Like, come on, man. I'm into this. I don't care. I'm not giving a very compelling speech, am I? Like, I'm watching the games regardless.
No,
I'm not your growth. I'm your base.
Yeah, you're the regular fan that's going to watch the baseball game regardless. Yes, like, because baseball is the ultimate, like, I've been watching forever. The baseball is going to be on.
It's happening.
Yes.
You know what I'm watching tonight? Cleveland and not the Cavs. Basketball mind has taken over again. I'm definitely watching Guardians and Cubs. Let's reassess the Cubs after what appeared to be a June that happened.
June swoon.
Was it a swoon?
Yeah.
Are you happy enough about it? Are you feeling like me where you're like, well, that was a month that occurred. Let's go over that. And we get ready for Ian Happ at 11:25. This is Raheem and Harris on the Score.